I just want to say that Andries asked last week, if you guys were here, or those who were here, he asked last week, what do you have in your hand right now? He asked a very important question, and I think we must, you know, discuss this even further about what do you actually have in your hand? Like Moses had the staff in his hand, God said, that is enough. I'll do with what's in your hand. I will perform what I want to perform. But what is in your hand? What has God given you? And I just want to continue with what he sort of touched on a little bit. I just want to continue with that, but focus on a very specific thing. And I want to challenge us and ask us, what has God really given us? Do we know what God has given us in terms of us being Christians and followers of Jesus? Because yeah, in the Amplified Bible from John chapter 7, Jesus is speaking here, and he says to, he's at the Feast of the Tabernacles, the great feast there in Jerusalem, and he makes an important announcement. He waits till the final and most important day of the feast. In verse 37, it says, Jesus stood. So obviously this was a perfect time for him to challenge a lot of people, because it was the climax of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Jesus stood up and he cried with a loud voice. Now that tells me that Jesus was quite urgent about what he wanted to say, because at the end it's got an exclamation mark. And he says, yeah, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is pretty urgent about what he wants to say there. He says, if any man, a loud voice he cries out, if any man and woman, obviously that word man refers to, if any person is thirsty, let him come to me and let him drink. He who believes, he carries on here, and he says, he who believes in me, now the Amplified puts it nicely, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Now, this where he says, yeah, he who believes in me, and where the Amplified clarifies it and says, he who cleaves to, who trusts in, and who relies on me, that's quite a special relationship, wouldn't you say? If someone is cleaving to someone, relying on someone, trusting in someone, that's a very special relationship for that person, I believe. So Jesus is talking here about a very special relationship with him. And he says, he believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Now, if we have to stop there, we'd wonder, what is Jesus really talking about here? What is he talking about, this rivers of living water? How is it going to, you know, manifest out of him? Yeah, we've got relationship with him, and people there knew him. And he said, you know, come, you've got to get to know me. And then the Bible clarifies it. And by the Spirit, John carries on and he writes here, he says, but he, Jesus, was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, that is trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. Because he says, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, or in brackets, raised to honor. So yeah, I believe Jesus is preparing the people for what was to come. But first, obviously, they had to come into relationship with him. First, they had to come to him, because he was the one that was going to give them this drink. But he was saying to the people, prepare yourself, because... And John clarifies here and said he was speaking of the Spirit, because Jesus needed to go away to the Father before the Holy Spirit would need to come. So that's just my introduction here. And I believe Jesus just wants to prepare us as well in this time of what's to come. Jesus really wants to prepare our hearts for what's to come. And yeah, in John chapter 16, there's a nice sort of a passage here of Scripture, which I realized this week for the first time, of just what Jesus really talked about when he said a few things. So now we move a little bit on. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's telling his disciples, listen here. Now, if you read the Gospels, you'll see Jesus tries to explain to his disciples over and over again about the fact that he's got to go away. And they just don't get it. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when people, before I met Hester now, and I was a single guy, and I was like wondering, what is it going to be like for me to know about who my wife is, and to just have that feeling of knowing. You know, I used to ask guys, now, how do you know? And you used to go to all the married guys in church and ask them, now, how do you know, that you, how do you know that you know, and how do you know whether it's the right person, you know? And these people would explain to you and try to tell you something. But looking back now, I realized, being a married person, when other people ask me now, how do you know, I realized that then, back then when they were trying to explain to me those things, they knew that I actually don't have a clue. Because to explain to someone how you know that this is your wife, you cannot. You have to tell the person, listen, yeah, you know, just trust in God. You've just got to believe, and you'll know. God will show you. But I cannot tell you what it really is going to be like. You must experience it for yourself. And when I met my wife and I knew that I knew that's my wife and I made the decision to marry her, then I just look back and realize, shucks, you know, the people out there, I cannot help them and try to tell them how it's going to be. They must discover it for themselves. We can do marriage prep. I mean, you know, relationship seminars and all these things and encourage people to get together. But, you know, two people getting together, everyone is unique. And they will need to know when they meet the right person, that is it. But no one else can explain to them how it is. You have to go through it yourself. So I believe this was the same thing that Jesus, with his disciples, he was trying to explain to them, but he knew that they don't actually have a clue about what he's talking about. They don't have a clue about what he's saying, that, you know, he's got to go away and I've got to give you the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a clue. But all he said to them is that you must just believe. So he said to them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And now when he says this, the truth, it's sort of a freeing thing, because, you know, if Jesus says this is the truth, you can just believe him. Even if you don't have a clue about what's happening, you can just believe him. He says to his disciples, he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. And he says this over and over. He's trying to tell them, I've got to go away, I've got to go away, I've got to go away. And they're thinking, no, man, Jesus, you've come to establish this kingdom, man. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be the leader, and you're going to take over the Roman Empire, and it's going to be awesome, Jesus. Jesus says, listen here, it is better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And then he goes on, he says, and when he has come, the Helper, he will convict you. Or he will convict, first of all, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then Jesus goes on basically to say that when the Holy Spirit has come, he's going to do a few things. And I want to just look at the four things that I believe just sums up the work of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus told the disciples, what was the work of the Holy Spirit here on earth. So first of all, he says, he will do three things. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. First of all, of sin, because they do not believe in me. And secondly, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And then of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You see, basically he's saying to the disciples, the Holy Spirit's work has come to convict the world. First of all, to convict the world that their sin of unbelief is just, that is what the Holy Spirit needed to come and do. And make them realize that by unbelief, they're actually sinning, by not believing in Jesus. It doesn't matter about all the wrong things they do. It's the fact that they don't believe in him as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That is the answer to their lives. And he's saying to them, this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. First of all, to convict them of sin, then of righteousness. And this means that Jesus is the righteousness of God. Convict them the fact that he is the answer to life. And that their sin will only lead to death, but that he is the answer. And then thirdly, of judgment, that there's a judgment. The ruler of this world has actually been judged, but there's going to be an eternal judgment coming. And this says to me that the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of the gospel, because this is the gospel, you see. The fact that we live in sin, we are sinners. We need to be saved. And the fact that there's an answer, Jesus is the righteousness of God. And the fact that there's a judgment coming and that we better be ready. And the only way we're going to know if we're going to be rightly judged is by if we know Jesus and we have that peace, that we are saved and we're going to heaven. So you see, the Holy Spirit, first of all, came to convict the world. And many times we think we need to convict the world. But you know what? The good news is God does use us, but we don't do the convicting. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. But you know what? Most people out there, how they know about this gospel is through someone else. You know, I do believe that the Holy Spirit has come to, you know, I've heard stories of a pastor in India who was just visited by Jesus at night and he just knew it was Jesus and he gave his life there. And that was a supernatural thing that the Holy Spirit did. So I believe that the Holy Spirit does do amazing things through just the supernatural thing of God. But you know what? Most people come to know the gospel. Most people come to know the good news through us as people. But you see, if we can just learn to love people and allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting in people's lives, then I believe his work is going to start to be fulfilled, the Holy Spirit's work. But as soon as we start to judge people and we start to do the convicting, then we're going to drive people away. But if the Spirit convicts the world, then I believe they'll be changed. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen a new believer who has just got saved. You know, in Stellenbosch a while back, a friend of mine who's now one of my best friends, but he got so radically saved. And after that whole week, he just tore down all his old posters and CDs of just weird stuff that he was like worshiping. And he just started to preach the gospel. I mean, he offended a lot of people while doing that. But, you know, he was so on fire for the Lord. And, you know, God, yes, and I suppose he didn't use wisdom at some time. He just sort of told people to turn and burn and that type of thing, you know. But, you know, he was so convicted that he couldn't but help to just tell people, listen, yeah, there's a God who reigns. And lots of people didn't receive it and didn't want to be friends with him anymore. But, you know, it wasn't like he was trying to offend people. He was just so convicted of this that the Holy Spirit came to convict him of, that he couldn't help but just to preach this good news. So I love people that get radically saved because they are the best evangelists. They go out there in the first few months of them getting saved, and I trust the Lord that they'll carry on doing it. But very often, we just seem to grow cold sometimes about the gospel. We seem to just get quiet, and we just want to sort of please people. But you know, if we just love people and allow the Holy Spirit to convict people through us, then we'll see lives change. But you see, the Holy Spirit did come to convict the world of these things, and therefore we don't have to do this. But the good news is that God wants to use us. And you know, when I got saved for the first time, when I realized that Jesus indeed was needed to be Lord of my life, it was through someone else's preaching. It was through someone else who preached at our school 17 years ago to this day almost. Well, yeah, more than 17 years ago. Preached to me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I realized I needed to make a change. You see, so the Holy Spirit didn't just come and visit me at night. And yes, I said previously, it does happen. People get visited by God and we can pray. But most of the time, the conviction comes when someone is obedient to preach the word of God, and then we can respond. I mean, how many of you guys responded in your lives? Your salvation was because of someone else just preaching the word and teaching you the word, or you read the word in a book even, but the word of God. The word of God, and just the where someone else, through relationship, comes to tell you that there's a God who reigns and your life changes. Because the Holy Spirit wants to convict people, but he doesn't do it without using. He wants to use us. That's my point this evening, that he wants to use us to convict the world. But we don't do the convicting. The Holy Spirit does it through us. And therefore, this is one of the tools that we need. If we are going to make a difference out there, if we are going to change the world, as Andres preached about last week, we are going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's carry on because it just gets more exciting. The second thing he goes on to say, he says, I still have many things to say to you. Jesus is still speaking to his disciples here in verse 12. And he says, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Second thing that he says here. And he says he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, or whatever he hears, he will speak. You see, the Holy Spirit has come to confirm and fulfill the word of truth in our lives, the word of God in our lives. He has come to confirm it because he says, yeah, he will guide you into not some truth, not half the truth, all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit will come to guide you into all the truth. You see, the great thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. The Holy Spirit never tries to exalt himself. The Holy Spirit always just points us back to Jesus and the cross. And then we can have freedom in our lives, like these people this weekend experienced. We can have freedom when the fullness of the gospel, and we realize Jesus died for, you know, the fact that our relationships with our dads have been broken, or our relationships with our siblings, or our relationships with any people. Jesus came to die for that, and therefore we can start to know the truth. Someone must get excited this evening. You see, the Apostle Paul, let's look at his life here in Acts chapter 9. When he had an amazing experience on the Damascus Road where God just came to say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he knocked him off his high horse, so to speak. And he came and he said to him, I want to use you, Saul, who became Paul eventually. I want to use you to preach this good news. But I'm not going to show everything to you now. And then he blinded him. Paul became completely blind. And through the Spirit, God revealed to him where he must go. He must just wait at this one house. And then he spoke to this man called Ananias. And he said, Ananias, I want you to go because there's a man called Saul, and I want you to go and pray for him and lay hands on him. And Ananias went his way, and he entered the house. And he obviously found the right house by the Holy Spirit. And he said to him, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? Ananias laid hands on Paul, and immediately... And now Paul was blind. He was completely blind just by the light. And God allowed him to be blind for 3 days. And he didn't eat and everything. And immediately there fell from his eyes. As soon as Ananias laid hands on the Apostle Paul, laid hands on Saul, there fell from his eyes something like scales. And what happened? He received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Baptized in water. But you see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe this is just a sort of a sign of inner spirit. What really happens is when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, then scales fall off our eyes. Our spiritual eyes start to become alive and start to become open to see the truth of God. You see, I remember reading the Bible before I was, you know, I walked the path with the Lord Jesus for 9 years. When I knew I was with the Lord. I knew I'm going to heaven and the relationship is just about me and Jesus. And, you know, it's a great relationship, me and Jesus. And we pray and we sort of connect with one another. But you know, I could never share my testimony. When I read the word, it was like, okay, I've got to do this reading from Psalms. I'll read and I'll finish and I'll close my book and I go to sleep. You know, I just carried on with life and I had a relationship with Jesus. But 9 years later, I came to realize that I'm missing something. And I came to a point in my life where I just felt, it seems like I'm just going through the motions. I'm like, just, you know, ticking along here. I don't feel like excited about God. I'm not like, I can't share my testimony. I can't share with people. I'm just too shy. I don't know what it is, but I can't talk about this amazing God that I serve. And I realized when I walked into a small group there in Stellenbosch, a young working guys, because I started working at that stage, and I realized these guys had something else. They just had this excitement about God, and I was like, thought, oh, we're going to do some weird stuff here in the cell. I'm very freaked out, but I'm going to come here and sit and see what they do. But you know, through a process, God just came to show me that I needed the fullness of the Holy Spirit. These guys were praying in tongues there and worshiping God, and I'm thinking, yes, I can't even lift my hand to God. You know, there's some heaviness here, and maybe I'm trying to do it like this or like this, but I just can't have freedom to worship God. And I realized I'm missing something, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And through a process, God took me through the foundations, and when I got baptized in water, I just realized this is what I've been missing. And when I got out that water, people had taught me before that about the Holy Spirit, but I believe I was just sealed completely. When I came out of the water, I just realized I'm excited about God's purpose for my life. I'm excited to share my testimony. I'm excited to lead other people to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit filled me just like He did with Paul. And when I started reading the Word, it became alive to me. It was like, man, I can see things in the Scripture, and I'm still to this day seeing new things in the Scripture, because it's not just a once-off thing. When we continually be filled with the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit and say, Lord, show me Your Word. Show me, when I read Your Word, just show it to me. Reveal it to me. Then I just start getting excited because I see things that I've never seen before in the Word. Just like when I prepare a sermon, I see things, God shows it to me. But you see, it's all because the scales fall off my eyes or fell off my eyes, just like they did with Apostle Paul. When physically scales fell off and he could see again, but he was filled with the Spirit. And obviously in his spirit also it became alive and he was excited to go and fulfill what God had told him to do. But you see, we need the Spirit to guide us into all truth. And yeah, in Romans 8, it just carries on. And this is just one of the many scriptures. I mean, I can't put all the scriptures that fall under this point about the Spirit guiding us into all truth. Because you know what? The whole Bible is full of the truth. And the Holy Spirit can only reveal that to you. Nothing else. You cannot do it intellectually. You cannot read the Bible just like another book. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. And yeah, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. There's one verse which is truth in your life. And it says, no, you're not a worm. You're not just any survivor. You're a son of God. If you have the Spirit, you're a son. If you're led by the Spirit, you are sons of God. But there's a prerequisite. You must be led by the Spirit of God. You must be filled. You must walk in the Spirit. And then you will know that you're a son of God. But if you don't, like I was for many years, where, yes, I'm a child of God and I'm following Jesus. But, you know, there was doubts in my mind. Like, am I really, the world starts to tempt you. And you think, but isn't the world a bit of a nicer place? And mustn't I rather just leave this Christianity thing and go? You know, but when you're filled with the Spirit, you know that you're a son of God. For you did not receive, it carries on to say, you did not receive the bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. And that Abba is just meaning like, it's like daddy. Like little Matthew there who's sleeping nicely at the back there. He calls out to me now. He's like, da-da, da-da, da-da. And when he hears my voice, he's like so excited. He's sitting in the bath this afternoon and he hears my voice and he's like, da-da, da-da, da-da. You know, I'm coming from preparing my sermon this afternoon and he's bathing and then he just hears my voice and he's so excited, you know. And that's what God wants to be for us. He wants to be excited. When we hear the voice of God, we just say, Abba Father, Daddy, I love you. I want to serve you. I just want to hug you now, you know, whatever. But we need to run like children to God. But you see, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're just going to try and do the right things all the time and try and, you know, just tick off a few boxes and we're under the law again. You know, are we really doing the right thing? Are we sons of God? Are we or aren't we? We're going to be uncertain, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and when you're led by the Spirit of God, you will know that you did not receive a spirit of adoption, or you did not receive a spirit of fear, but of adoption, and you are adopted. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It just goes on and on and on yet to say that we are children of God, but it's all by the Holy Spirit. Go and read Romans 8 at home and see. It starts off by saying there's no condemnation for those on Christ, but it talks about being led by the Spirit and calling out to Jesus, calling out Abba Father. And if children, then heirs, and it just carries on. It says you're not only just children of God, but But you have an inheritance. And the people can testify of it this weekend. I just can't stop speaking about the legacy seminar because it's just so powerful. And you guys must come and do it next year because then you will know that you're not just a child, but you're a joint heir with Christ. Can someone get excited about that? Are you excited about being a joint heir with Christ? In other words, what Christ has, you can have. All authority has been given, so you can have it by the Holy Spirit. And then it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It says, you've got to lay down your life. You've got to take up your cross daily, and it's not always going to be easy. But you know what? The Spirit makes us overcomers. The Spirit makes us excited to follow God despite the circumstances, despite your challenges, despite the broken relationships. God says, I will glorify you. I will glorify you, and I will redeem you in the end. You see, it's all about the truth. When the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, our lives become free. And we need to be honest with ourselves and say we are in bondage. Many times we're still in bondage. We still fear. We still doubt. But God says, I want to, by my Spirit, I want to guide you into all truth. And then he carries on here. And he says at the end of verse 13b, he says, and what he will also do is he will tell you things to come. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the helper, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help you, he will guide you, or sorry, he will tell you things to come. You see, what's amazing, the Holy Spirit knows all things. The Holy Spirit is God. He knows all things. And so therefore, he wants to reveal things to you. He wants to reveal your life's plan to you. But you know what? He's not going to do it all at once. He's not going to show you all your sin and deal with it all at once because you're going to die. He just takes you step by step. He reveals things that are still to come. He reveals the plan, and you start to get excited about your plan and the plan that God has for your life. Therefore, you don't need to fear. You see, so many times we fear things. We worry about stupid things. But the Holy Spirit wants to tell us all things. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that amazing? The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. So in other words, what he's saying is we cannot do this in the natural. But he says here, but God. I love that, but God. He has made a plan for us. He has revealed it to us by his Spirit or through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. The Spirit wants to show us things to come. The Spirit wants to give us, and we know that that's one of the reasons the Spirit came is to give us the gifts of his Spirit. As a body, we can start to pursue the Spirit together and put our gifts together. But he wants to give you as an individual the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially prophesy. Paul says, desire all the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, that you may see the things that God sees, that you may see. And I believe for some of us, it means just to look above our circumstances, to look above what we're going through right now, to look at the supernatural and say, God, this looks impossible, but you know what? I'm so excited because this impossible thing means that there's an opportunity for a miracle. Yeah. So God, I want to look into the supernatural. Because yes, I'm sick and yes, I've got a broken leg, but God, I believe that you can heal me. Yes, I'm struggling with these relationships, but I believe that you can heal this. I believe that you can do all things. I believe that you can deliver me of my fear. Because I struggle to go to the toilet and in the dark and, you know, I'm scared of the dark. I have to switch on the light and I have to walk so far to switch on the light and I'm scared like there's some things in the dark there. And so I'm fearful when I wake up at night. But God, I want to just give that to you and I know you'll deliver me because I see the supernatural. You are the light, Lord. So if I have the light, I don't need to fear any darkness, especially in the natural and in the spiritual. I don't need to fear dark things. I don't need to fear the evil that's prevalent in this world because you have come to give me life. You have come to show me things to come. And then lastly, he says, yeah, the Spirit of truth, you will come and you will glorify me. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And then he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Spirit has come to glorify Jesus. And yeah, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus himself says, listen, yeah, I need to go away right now. But you know what? Don't worry about all the things about, you know, he says just before that, don't worry about the seasons and the times that the Father has appointed. You just worry about this one thing, and that is that you're going to receive power. So go and wait up in Jerusalem. Go and wait in the upper room, because you know what? I've got to go away, but I can promise you. And these are the last things he said before he went up. And he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're going to receive power. And what are you going to do? You're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, Jesus came and he said, yeah, I've got to go away because you know what? My spirit wants to give you power. And you're going to do greater things than me. That's what Jesus said. You're going to do greater things. Because I'm in the body. I'm physically here as a man, but I cannot, you know, do all things. But the spirit is going to change this world. The spirit is going to change this world. And therefore, I want to leave you with my spirit. And I want to give you my spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. And then we know what happened. Pentecost came. The spirit was poured out and people started praying in tongues and everyone freaked out because they thought, this is so weird. The people are drunk. But you see, God came and he showed us that he wants to reveal Jesus to us through the Spirit. He wants to point us back again to the cross and the finished work of the cross. And then he just comes to say to us that we must, what he's saying is we must act on, we must be obedient to the Word of God. We must believe this, that we can also have this power today. See, many churches today don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. And therefore, we don't see signs and wonders. We don't see, you know, revival in a way. And God knows and God is changing us and he's challenging us and he's taking us step by step. He's patient with us. But you see, he's already given us this truth, is that we can have power. And we can just act on it and be obedient to the word. And you know what that'll do is when we act and we are obedient to the word, we don't ask all sorts of questions and wonder. We just say, Lord, you've said this word, so we're obedient to it. What does it do? It actually releases the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, the Holy Spirit cannot just like move ahead of us. God wants us to move. He says, go. And when you go, signs and wonders will follow you. When you go, the anointing will flow. But we need to be obedient. And that's what I said at the beginning. Yes, God wants to touch people supernaturally through a divine connection. But I believe most people, God wants to touch through us. Because we all have people that we know. We all have people in our lives that we can just bless and love and challenge sometimes. Whatever God tells you to do, just be obedient. But you see, he says, when you receive the Spirit, you will have power. You will start to pray. You will start to witness to me. And I believe our church is going to be a witness to Jesus in this town. I believe it. Do you believe it? When people come here, they will know we are witnesses of Jesus. We're just talking about Jesus. He's our center. He's our focus. We're excited about him. But individually, we can also be witnesses out there by the power of the Spirit and not by our own strength, not to try things and get frustrated. We are going to just be witnesses when we say, Lord, we yield to your power. And it releases the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what does it ultimately do? It glorifies Jesus. Just like he said, that is why the Spirit has come. He will glorify me and he will just show things that I've actually already given you. He will just reveal them to you guys more and more. Because I only have 3 years with you, but when I go away, the Spirit is going to move through generations. And you know what? The Holy Spirit moved powerfully at the beginning and then there was just no more Spirit until the revival, until things happened in the beginning of the 19th century. When people realized we want the gifts back, we want these things back. And we're living in exciting times because we have the power. The power is going out to many people. The people are realizing the fullness of the Spirit. So it's getting exciting. But the darkness and the evil is also starting to say, we're going to try to resist this. We're going to try to have an opposite spirit and a deceiving spirit. But you see, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus in the end. And that's why it's exciting. And he has a good example here in Acts, once again. Acts proving, and I want to encourage you guys, read the book of Acts. See how the people were filled with the Spirit. See what they did when they were filled with the Spirit. But yeah, he has a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. We know Stephen, he was preaching the truth once again. He was revealing the truth to these religious people, and they got so upset with him. And here he says, or the writer says, but he, that Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. And these people were getting so, they said, we could have stoned this guy right now. And he was just so at peace. He was full of the Spirit. He looked up into heaven and he just saw the glory of God. And it says here, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open. And what do I see? The Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Amazing vision that God gave him. While people are just angry with him, and we know what happened. They just said, listen here, it's time to stone him. And they just threw stones at him. And I mean, when I read this, I think, how must it have been? You know, because then afterwards he said, it said he cried out with tears and said, Father, forgive them. Not crying because he's in pain or anything. Crying because he's forgiving the people and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, exactly like Jesus did on the cross. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll glorify Jesus. You become like him and you don't get angry with the people. You realize they just need Jesus. They need the Spirit, just like he had. And he just said, Father, forgive them, and just as he fell asleep. It sounded like quite a peaceful sleep that he fell into, but it was quite a violent, you know, stoning, and it must have been blood, and I don't know what happened, but this is supernatural for me, the fact that he could just continue to pray for them while they were stoning him. But you see, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, he just says here, he says, that is what I've come to do. The Spirit has come to glorify me. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to get angry and retaliate. You're just going to surrender and say, God, I've preached your word, and if it's time for me to die, I can see you, and I'm so excited to see your glory, and I want to see you. I want to go to you. And there Stephen died, just like Jesus, in forgiveness of the people that persecuted him. But you see, many times we just want to retaliate, and we want to get frustrated with people who don't agree with us. But you know, we just need to preach the truth and then just say, Jesus, you, Holy Spirit, do your conviction. And that's what he did. And the people didn't want to receive it. And many people won't receive the gospel. That's not our problem. We just be obedient to what the Spirit is saying to us. And then my last scripture here, just to talk about the fullness of the Spirit, because I believe this is what God wants to bless us with. Just the same as Isaiah said about Jesus. Isaiah wrote here and he said, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. See, this tells me that Jesus operated on another level. Jesus operated by the power of the Spirit. It says here, he shall have wisdom and understanding. And you see, that's what God wants to give us. God, we need wisdom and understanding in these last days. We need serious, serious wisdom. Not that you're going to read out of a book. Yes, you'll get that as well. But we're going to need the wisdom and the supernatural understanding of the Holy Spirit to see things in the supernatural, to see things above what we see before us. And then it says, yeah, he's got the Spirit of, or it says that he's delight, or the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear, or sorry, the Spirit of counsel and might. It says, we're going to need this. We're going to need to know when to be strong and when to have influence, but also when to just counsel and when to just back off a bit. We need to know what to do. We need to know this. We have knowledge again and of the fear of the Lord. As I preached 2 weeks ago, it's so important that we remain in the fear of the Lord and humility and just say, Lord, we need to have this, but Lord, we realize it's a gift from you. It's a gift from you, and we remain in you. We just, Lord, want to receive it, but we realize it's such a gift, and it's such a, we need to have a stewardship of this gift. And that's what I believe here, the fear of the Lord, where God, Jesus was such a steward of what he'd be given. He just walked in step with the Father, didn't waste, you know, cast his pearls before swine, didn't waste his gift, the gift of the Spirit that was on him, or the anointing that was on him. He was such a good steward of it. And I believe it's urgent for us to remain in the fear of the Lord, not in fear as in like we're worried about whether we're kind of going to make it or not. That's not about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is when you know that you've been chosen as a son and a daughter of God. And you've got to have stewardship of what he's given you. And then it says he shall delight in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor by the hearing of his ears. And this speaks of another level. He doesn't just look in the natural. He doesn't just judge by what he sees and react to what he sees. And he doesn't just hear things and just, you know, start skinnering about the stuff he hears. He judges on another level, and he hears and sees on another level. And that, to me, just talks about having the fullness of the Spirit and having the anointing flow through our lives and in our lives. So I know this is a challenging word this evening, but you see, sometimes we're not good stewards of the Holy Spirit. And some of us don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be opportunity this evening to really just respond. And just to end off with the last story, and as the band comes up, you guys can come up so long. But, you know, some of you guys knew about the prayer meeting that we had on Wednesday, the exam prayer meeting. And it was just so amazing coming together. There were a few of us as leaders, the campus ministry leaders, got together, and you just trusted the Lord that there'll be people there. And I didn't realize, you know, some of these people just came, and, you know, I've kind of thought, oh, we're just going to pray for the people who are writing exams and everything. And then they started saying, but y'all pray amongst yourselves, maybe for yourselves. And I kind of led one of the groups, and then I just said to the guys, do you guys want to pray for yourselves, or are you in need of prayer yet, or do you rather want to just, let's pray for the campus? And they said, no, it's cool. We want to focus outwardly. And I was so blessed because there they're having an outward focus and they're praying for other people and not themselves. So we just started praying. And two of us were praying in the group the whole time. Well, one guy sort of was praying a little bit. But the other three, they were not praying at all. And we were praying through sort of the Our Father prayer. We took it line by line and just, you know, focused on Our Father who is in heaven. And we glorified God. And then we just said, let your kingdom come. Your will be done. We went through all those things. And we got sort of to the end and they were finishing off. And then I just felt the Spirit saying to me, these three guys, yeah, the reason they're not praying is because they need the Holy Spirit. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have the boldness to pray in front of a group. So what I did is I just said, sort of we ended off, and then I just said, listen here, guys, just look up at me, the three of you. I just said, I believe God is saying to you. And then I just testified. I said, you know, I believe without the Holy Spirit, and I kind of preached a mini sermon of what I preached tonight, okay? And I just said to him, I believe we're going into exciting times and this campus is going to be changed and God is going to do amazing things and it's awesome that we had to pray. But you know what I believe God wants you to know is that you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I just believe that. And I asked them, now, do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know, have you got a relationship with him? And they were like, yeah, no, and obviously I knew they're saved, they know Jesus. Then they were like, then I said, but how do you experience him? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you know him? And then they sort of didn't really know what to answer. And then I just felt them share my testament. I said, I walked 9 years knowing Jesus, having a relationship with the Father, but I never knew the power of the Spirit. I never could testify. I could never just get excited about God and, witness to people. And then I just shared that and I said, I met people and I realized that I needed to be full baptized with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there when you give your life to Jesus. But the fullness, the presence is around you, but you're not full to where you overflow. And this is what Jesus was talking about. Then I said, Jesus said we're going to have rivers of living water flow out of us. And these guys were like, this was like the truth for them, the gospel. And I just said, you can right now just receive the Holy Spirit if you want to. I want to pray for you if you want to. If you really want to receive it, all you need to do. And then I just showed them these last three scriptures, or not scriptures, but just those last three things. I said, all you need to do is ask the Father. The Father in Luke 11 verse 3 says, Luke 11:13 says, if we as parents of children now are to give good gifts, we're actually evil. How much greater a gift is the Father not going to give us if we just ask for the Holy Spirit? He wants to give it to us. So I just said to them, just ask the Father. And secondly, you just pray behind me, you pray after me and just say, Jesus, baptize me, because he's the one. In John 1:33, John the Baptist says, Jesus, I came to baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So just ask Jesus to baptize me. And then I just said, all you need to do is just receive. Like those people in Samaria where the whole city got filled with the Holy Spirit, all they did was they just received the Holy Spirit and came upon them through the power of preaching and the word. And I just said those three things, and all I said is, do you want to? And they said, yes. All of them were like sincere. And I said, if you don't want to, it's fine, but be sincere and just know that God will fill you. And they were all like, yes, we want to receive the Holy Spirit. And there I led them in the prayer, and I just prayed and I said, God fill them, and thank you that they're full. And we just, and the other guy also helped me, and we just prophesied over them. And their lives were changed. They came to a prayer meeting to give and to pray, and they did, I believe, I suppose, in their hearts and in their spirits, they prayed, but they received more than they came to give, because God blessed them, I believe, because they came with the right heart. But then they were blessed with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then I just realized again the power of that we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot go, otherwise it's just going to become a real dead religion if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And we don't have the power that Jesus talks about in Acts. We can be filled and we can have signs and wonders follow us. We can have healings, miracles. We can hear, like what happened to brother there at the back, who got healed, you see. The power of the Spirit. Or even in our hearts, those who did the seminar, when your heart gets healed, it's just the power of the Spirit that we prayed as facilitators, Lord, by His Spirit, come and change lives, and He's faithful to do it.